The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. Usually here on holiday week, we would not be here with you live, but because Arizona State football is doing what they're doing, we have to be. Have to be. And I do have to talk about your Cardinals. God, they're bad. Jody Jackson will be with us. Our usual segment brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. Jody Jackson's Jody's Gems. Not only that, but of course, Jody will be back in 2025 to be part of the Diamondbacks broadcast, and they made a pretty significant deal. So we'll get into the Cardinals and that disaster, debacle, new low, anything you want to use, and then a little bit on the Diamondbacks. John Wilner will be with us because he's with us every Monday. One, two, the national outpouring of resentment, hate, negative towards the opening weekend of the college football playoff, which will trickle into Arizona State this week. We will talk with John Wilner. Housekeeping-wise, we will do this show today. If you're watching this during the week, yes, this show will hold. And then we will be in Atlanta. Jordan Hamm and I will be in Atlanta starting on Sunday night. And I haven't decided yet if Iron Man's even available, if I'm available, if there's reasons to on Sunday night fire up and do an emergency show from Atlanta. Next Monday, we will be in Atlanta. And next Tuesday, New Year's Eve, we'll be in Atlanta. And Jake Plummer will be with us on New Year's Eve. He is flying in for the game and will be doing some stuff with us. New Year's Day is the game itself. We'll find out about ASU, and then I'm going to fly home and do something on Thursday the 2nd. So, yeah, there's a lot that's happening. And I don't mind because it's ASU. I don't mind. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, we appreciate Jeff Mishi and Desert Financial Credit Union for their support. Hard to believe it's another year in the books, but there you go. So the CFP happened over the weekend. I watched all four of the games. I didn't watch any NFL. And I know that there's going to be the numbers nationally show that the NFL did this, the NFL did that. Of course, the NFL put Patrick Mahomes on opposite of the college football playoff game. Of course, they put Steelers, Ravens. I didn't watch either one. Because I was into the college thing. I saw sold-out stadiums on the college end, saw the fandom. The Indiana did not belong on the field with Notre Dame if we're just talking football, but this is the way the playoff is laid out. And the revisionist history that was being fired off by those, especially in the Southeastern Conference, the arrogance. And again, our industry being an absolute bleep show, because it's guys in our industry that are trying to protect their turf rather than play it down the middle. And so it's like this week, ASU's got no shot of getting anybody in the SEC to give them an ounce of credit, nor should they really be picked to win. I'm fine with them being a 2-touchdown underdog. I am. Nobody's expecting ASU to win down in Atlanta. I am flying down there. Jordan's flying down there. And it could be a big waste of jet fuel. It could. But the beauty of sports is you just don't know. You don't know. Can you look at it and say the Boise State-Penn State game in the Fiesta Bowl is going to be a great game? I have more reservation about that one. The Rose Bowl speaks for itself. Oregon-Ohio State, that can't possibly be screwed up. And Georgia-Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl, that can't possibly be screwed up. Those games are just made for this. So if somebody's trying to say, well, you know, if Ole Miss had been in, if Alabama had been in, they weren't. So I hate that argument. I just hate that argument. I'm going with what is. What can you do to change the alignment of the college football playoff after 1 year of going through it, or 1 weekend of going through it? Is it that just because you won your conference doesn't mean that you get an automatic bye? I'm of the opinion that that sounds reasonable, but what's the incentive for your conference champ? You should be given a bye, shouldn't you? And you can even make the argument that having a bye is a bad thing. You could, because rust is real. I'm going to talk to Wilner about that. The Cardinals game was just awful. Like, I sat in here in my man cave had all my stuff ready to go, had my notepad out, and it just, man, what a miserable way to spend Sunday. It was a nice day outside, and I'm sitting here like, I have to watch this crapola, and we've seen this Kyler movie before. And after the game is over, I flip over to the post-game radio side to hear what the coach has to say. And the coach thought Kyler played well. Okay. It's just a matter of time for your Cardinals before the owner comes down. We're going to go through the same old stuff. We are. Or I will be pleasantly surprised if Monty Austin Ford has enough power and will to step in and say, we've seen enough of this. This is 6 years of this. And I don't want to go too deep because Jody and I are going to chop it up here momentarily, but I've seen this movie. I know the boat sinks at the end. I've seen this movie a bunch of times. It's a pretty boat. It's a nice boat, but it sinks. Kyler Murray, great when he uses his feet. Doesn't have a big-time wide receiver at all. You would have to say at this point that Marvin Harrison Jr. is borderline, not a bust, but just a borderline average pick, which you can't have an average pick when it's that high. I don't want to hear about players that were injured. I don't want to hear about players. This was Carolina. This was Bryce Young. Man, that was just a hard watch. I actually thought the best highlight of the weekend was Charlie Woods. Did you see this? Tiger's son, Charlie, is on the tee box. He's playing with his dad at the PNC. It's one of these deals where it's the father and son or father and daughter. And he holes out, he gets his first hole in one, and dad's not there to watch it. It was beautiful. And just his reaction was like, wow, this was the best. I liked what the Diamondbacks did over the weekend. They didn't have much of a choice. You're not going to pay Christian Walker $20 million a year. Christian Walker is a nice player. Best of luck in Houston. We have to be a little bit more salary smart. We have to, in my opinion, their acquisition of Josh Naylor for Slade Cerconi. Slade Cerconi did some nice things here, but I never saw him as a potential 1-2-3 guy. Josh Naylor's glove sounds like he uses a fork over there to play defense. Bit of an adventure. But the offense doesn't lie. He has a one-year deal. So if the Diamondbacks really are in retool mode, I think, after this coming season. If they don't play well the first 3-4 months, they're going to dump guys like Kelly and Gallen. That's going to happen. And they're going to restock and reload. You want to have a team every year that can go for 90 wins. They're still playing for it. Josh Naylor's here, and he's a rental for a season. You get draft picks. You gave up a nice pitcher, but nothing over the top. Or you sign him long-term, and you got him for a bargain. So I'm fine with this. Oh, and by the way, the Suns play tonight in Denver, and Devin Booker's not playing. The NBA in December. It's fantastic. So-and-so's out tonight. Glad you paid your tickets. Glad you put in your time. So-and-so is injured. It's called load management. It's called he played in the Olympics last August. It's called we're going to just keep a tab on you until we get around to mid-March. And by the way, you're going to watch. You're going to pay full fare. That is the business model of pro sports nowadays. NFL, yeah, you're not going to be out on the field. We're not going to look good in September and October. The Cardinals, I'm just back ranting on the Cardinals. Back, it was Adam Archuleta did the Cardinals game, and he said, yeah, we'll see if they're still in this. Yeah, that's what happens. The good teams rise up as the season goes along. The Cardinals, the last 4 years, I heard Kent Summers yesterday on the postgame show. It was like 4-20 since they come off the bye, when they come off the bye the last 4 years. It was just dumb. They can't figure it out. All right. I've ranted enough. Jody Jackson is next, then John Wilner. I'm Brad Sussmat. Jody's Gems. Yes, every Monday, Jody Jackson delivers the goods brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. Not only does she deliver them, she wears them. E.D. Marshall Jewelers, we appreciate their support. So let's just move on from the Cardinal game. And no, I'm just kidding.
Only we could, right? Horrible.
as you're sitting there watching the Cardinals go through their mental gymnastics in the first quarter of Sunday's game at Carolina, is anything coming to your mind that is not pleasant? Because mine was, what the bleep? That's where I was.
Oh, yeah. It was everything from, you know, I'm okay with the flea flicker on the first play, but Marvin Harrison Jr. gets called for offsides. You know, he said he talked to the official, but, you know, the bottom line is he gets called there. The penalties continue. The fact that they couldn't stop the run really worried me, because that was the one thing that we thought, okay, Carolina can do that. Chuba Hubbard's a really good player. And they were able to gash the defense, and Bryce Young was able to run. And you're just thinking, I'm like you, Brad. I'm thinking this is not going well. But then they get back in it, and I'm thinking, all right. When it was 20-17, I thought this is going to be a game. And I, at that point, I even pointed to Kyler Murray, and I said, you know, Kyler Murray should rally the troops here, whether it's getting the ball to McBride, you know, whatever it is. And it all fell apart, and they battled, and the Chad Ryland kicked a 58-yard field goal. But I mean, the mistakes, the mistake getting people lined up, which is on Kyler Murray for the delay of game, and all of the things that happened, and then Kyler throwing another interception. You know, Brad, he's got now 16 touchdowns on the year, 9 interceptions in the last, I think it's 5 games, 4 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Kyler is. It looks like he's regressing, and it's all, a lot of it is up here, but it does stem from, you know, you don't have a wide receiver one you can count on to catch the ball. You don't, then your running back goes down in that game. Your right tackle goes down in that game. I mean, I'm throwing it all at you right now because this is where I am mentally, but I know it's hard when your right tackle goes down and you're already playing without your regular left tackle. And when James Conner went down, I feel like it was too much for whatever reason, you know, and I think even that affected Kyler, you know, and it's just, he's got to be better than that. And we've said it time and time again, but to lose to Carolina,
yeah,
it was just, I think it's a lot for people to inhale over this weekend, because it might be, I mean, look, he can come back and play well these next two games, and I still don't know if it can really repair what was done on Sunday.
Yeah, I guess I'm on the side of the street of it's completely inexplainable. It is inexplicable that Jonathan Gannon's team wasn't ready to play, or is it, well, it's not Jonathan Gannon's fault. These are professionals. No, they weren't ready to play. So I'm calling it an organizational failure. When you're not ready to play and you're playing a team that's not good, and you have everything on the line and they have nothing on the line, and you play as poorly as they did. And beyond that, Jody, it's the last 4 years, this team coming off the bye week is horrible. This team always finishes the season on a negative note, unfortunately. The numbers don't lie. I think it's 4-16 in the last 4 years. And I don't know why they come off the bye and they just have this lollygag attitude about them, but that was short of dog food on Sunday. It just was terrible to watch them go through it while the Rams are struggling to beat Aaron Rodgers and could have set up a big showdown, and we could be talking today about postseason. Instead, your season comes crashing down, not in Philadelphia, not against Detroit, not against Patrick Mahomes, but against Bryce Young and a 3-11 Carolina team, you get eliminated. Awful. Yeah,
it really was. And you know, it looked a lot like it in ways. It was almost worse than the Green Bay game, where they go up there, and I feel like Jordan Love threw a couple deep passes, and you know, that was quick strike offense that got the Packers on top. This was more, you know, grinding it out. You know, the Carolina Panthers were able to grind it out on the ground. They were able to, you know, Bryce Young played maybe his best game. I haven't seen all the games, but that's what I was hearing coming out of Carolina, is that they were really pleased with Bryce Young. And it's very frustrating when, you know, and I don't know if it was the injuries going in. We knew they didn't have Mack Wilson Sr. We know they didn't have Jesse Luketta. They didn't have Paris Johnson Jr. They are a little banged. They were banged up with no Trey Benson, and they already lost DeMarcado. But these things are all part of life in the NFL. I mean, part of me wondered with them going out there, are they going to feel depleted? Are they going to feel, is there going to be some insecurity there on how are we going to come out? They shouldn't have. They shouldn't. They had, if they have enough on the roster to beat the Panthers. I felt that way. I think we all did. And to not be able to do it, it's just there's so many things that kind of came to roost for me here. And it's like the lack of the deep passing game. One of the big things on offense is you don't have a speedster to go down the field. Michael Wilson is a nice player, but he hasn't established himself as a one. And Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't think they trust, you know, there's not trust there with Kyler Murray going to him. You know, when you continually can't make the play, whether it's a contested ball and coming down with it, or if it's something like you're running the wrong route, or you're not running a good route, or the best route you can run. If you can't be trusted in that spot, it deteriorates the entire offense because that takes away just a huge part of this offense that they need to be functional. And that's why, you know, I feel like when James Conner went down, then it's on Kyler. Kyler did run for a touchdown on a very well executed play, but they were few and far between.
Yeah, I was listening to the broadcast on the radio side, and Dave Pasch, after the game was over, brought up maybe Clayton Tune takes quarterback time. Maybe in these last two games, Kyler Murray doesn't play. And I hadn't thought of that. But if you're trying to get answers for next year, these last two games, the regular season, even though there's a lot on the line for the Rams, the 49ers game, the last one of the year, it's guys just trying to not get hurt. So I can actually see that. Would you be of the mindset of, okay, I've seen Kyler Murray's resume for the 2024 season. I know what we're going to do with him moving forward, or do you just keep playing him?
I mean, it's a tough decision. I don't feel like they will go to Clayton Tune. I feel like they'll keep Kyler Murray out on that field. They'll try to continue to get those reps in the games. They've talked about how, you know, part of the Marvin Harrison Jr. needs to progress, but you can't duplicate it in practice. So you've got to do it in the games. And no offense to Clayton Tune, but I don't necessarily, I mean, I think if he was going to be the answer here, we would have maybe had more indications of that. Certainly, if he goes out on the field against the Rams, then we'll know that they do think that. I don't know that that's the case though. And if anything, as the mind spins forward for the rest of us, it's looking at, well, what can the Cardinals do next year to maybe have someone compete with Kyler Murray? You
Sure.
know, but
Who
I
are
don't
those
know.
people? Who are those people? Like Kirk Cousins is going to get released. Okay. Is it going and getting a veteran who's already being paid a ton of dough that could come in here and push him? Is it because Gannon, after the game, again, listening on the radio side, he thought Kyler played well. That's what he said.
That's what he said. I heard what he said. He said he doesn't question his
Right.
decision making, which you
I
know,
don't know, Jody. The
we know
interception
that
was
that's not true.
horrendous. That was horrendous, but he's just
Oh,
preparing
look,
his player.
the coaches are there to question. There's nothing wrong with questioning decision. They're the coaches. So I think he was very much in the mode of protecting his quarterback. And that's fine. Like a lot of coaches do that. I'm not going to
Sure.
blame Jonathan Gannon for coming out and saying things that were going to tamp down the inflammatory situation around Kyler Murray. But yeah, there's a lot that's going to be going on behind closed doors, I'm sure, with the continuation. And look, even though they beat the Patriots, but we still saw flaws there. We've seen flaws in almost every game except the Rams and the Jets, right? And then you say, okay, those were really, really good performances by Kyler. There were some other good performances as well. But there's a lot to fix here. And the fact that he's in year six, it just makes it tough. I feel like there's so much frustration right now.
Yeah.
I think if you're the coaches in this front office and ownership, you have to group together and talk about it, which that's probably not appropriate right now. It's probably going to wait till after the season. Although the talk amongst the coaches is appropriate, don't get me wrong, to talk about where the quarterback situation is. And
I just got
does that include a little bit of Clayton Tune here in the last two
yes,
games? You know,
yes,
I mean,
yes.
really, why not? You're not in the playoff hunt. And Kyler Murray, look, it's if you truly believe the first thing Monty Austenfort came in and said when he took over here was it's team over any individual. And if you truly believe that, what is, you know, I don't, why would there be a problem in sitting Kyler Murray down and saying, take a breath here. We're going to see what we have here. I mean, if it's about the team, which I believe that it is for those guys, and it doesn't really matter how Kyler feels about it. Hopefully he would understand that, you know, he was part of getting to 6-4, and he was part of losing all these games down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm just tired of it's tough, man. It's tough. It's tough. We got to do better. We got to execute. We got to do better. It's just mind numbing. And you and I, especially you, you're in the forest. I'm right there in the forest. But those that are just kind of hanging out on a weekend wanting to see this in my circles, they're done with Kyler Murray. They're done. They want
it. It felt like yesterday, in the court of public opinion, at least, that it was kind of the last straw.
It
was like, you know what? We had a little chance to make the playoffs. You had to win this game to see what happens. Everybody wanted to see what happens, right, Brad? We know that they needed help and they needed to continue to win. They needed to beat the Rams next week. But everybody wanted that chance. And they didn't. It wasn't all on Kyler. We know that. We that's a disclaimer, and we know it. Okay, but they battled back to tie the game, which tells you that the defense did some things, the offense did some things, and then to fail in overtime, to fail late in the, to see the failures. But the failures all game long just piled up. You know, when you see three and outs, when you see possessions that just were not going anywhere, it just is so frustrating. And the penalties were a problem again, so the coaching staff will take the blame on that. Like you said, you got to be ready. They did not seem ready for whatever reason. The other thing, like Froholt and Evan Brown were both questioned, you know, in the morning. I don't know how much that was close to like they weren't going to play. I feel like there was uncertainty and a lack of, you know, maybe guys were not feeling confident going into that, but you have to be supremely confident in the NFL when you step on that field or you're not going to have a chance. And I feel like that's what we saw in the first quarter.
All right, let's wrap on this because I've got just like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. The Diamondbacks, first they lose Christian Walker. He goes to Houston. Then Goldschmidt goes to the Yankees. And about an hour later, Josh Naylor becomes an Arizona Diamondback. Big bat, big step back defensively. It reads like. But what did you make out of what the Diamondbacks did? You're in the middle of that. You're going to be back with them again this coming season. What did you make out of the acquisition?
Well, I really like it, and I think we can all breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief because the first baseman frenzy was real over the weekend, and you don't want to be like the Mariners who have not done anything. The Mets are probably, I guess they're going to re-sign Pete Alonso. It's going to cost a lot of money. Really, if you look at it, And I know a lot of people over there that cover the Guardians and great people. You know, they won their division last year. Josh Naylor had 31 home runs. He was a huge part of their offense. And honestly, I feel like it was a steal for Mike Hazen. Slade Ciccone, who, you know, it can develop into a really good reliever. But and then the draft pick. And I just feel like, yes, you have this void now with Christian Walker, but Naylor is a force offensively. 31 home runs, 108 runs batted in last year. The year before, even the batting average and the OPS were better. I think this kid he's young. They only have 1 year of control, but if all goes well and they can, you know, if this turns out to be a happy story, you know, maybe he sticks around. But I think it was a terrific move. It really was, because you're missing those homers. Now Jock Peterson, rumored to be signing with the Rangers, that is going to hurt, but they way unloaded the truck for him over there in Texas, if the rumors are true, of the 2 year, $37 million. So feeling, if you're a Diamondbacks fan today, over the weekend, I think you're feeling a lot better about things, because Naylor is going to be a force offensively. And yeah, the defense is a little bit of a, you know, I mean, he's average to, depending on who you ask. Can he get better? I don't know. But you got to give up something to get something. And they got offense, and they'll give up something on defense.
I'll let you go off that. Hey, have a good Christmas with you and your family. And I appreciate you as always. Thanks.
Same to you, Brad. Merry Christmas.
That's Jody Jackson, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. E.D. Marshall Jewelers, we appreciate their support. We're back with more after this timeout. And now time to go through the CFP debate. Because of lopsided games, we're going to spend a minuscule amount of time on that. Maybe John Wilner's with us, the great John Wilner, knows all, tells all, nationally syndicated columnist, of course, right here on sports360az.com as we get through the first weekend of CFP games. Okay, so as you're sitting there watching Friday night where that game wasn't competitive, and then you're getting into Saturday's games where it's 21 to nothing and 12 minutes in, or that was Saturday night's game, 21 nothing, 12 minutes in.
Yep.
SMU getting blown away. Were you sitting there saying this thing's an abject failure this year? where you come down on this, John?
Oof. Well, first of all, there were blowouts in the four-team playoff in the semifinals. In fact, more often than not, those games weren't competitive. There are blowouts in the first round of the NCAA tournament, blowouts in the NFL playoffs. You kind of expect that to happen to a degree, but I came away thinking that they have got to change the process. Number one, they can't give the top four seeds to the conference champions. They have got to just seed based on the ranking. The top four seeds are the top four teams. They get the buys. I think that would create a little bit more competitive nature in the opening round. You would have had, I think, Boise against Indiana, for instance.
Which is about right. That's about right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The way they have the format set up, it artificially changes the matchups because you got like the number three team is seeded fifth or sixth. And so they're going to, you know, it's going to lead to more blowouts.
Let me jump in here, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Take this into the Arizona State fan. Okay, because you're talking right at them. They're ones that are benefiting by sitting back.
They are.
With their hands, you know, like who are going to play? So under John Wilner, commissioner of the CFP motto build, you would have had them play last week on campus against Texas.
They would have been the 11th seed. If you're seeding based on rankings, I think they would have been number 11. They would have played the 6, which is either Ohio State or Notre Dame, something like that. But, you know, you're the number 11 seed or 11 ranked team. You shouldn't get automatic a bye just because you won your conference. I think that I understand why they did it, because they wanted to provide value to conference championships, but it makes for a lesser product. That's the bottom line. The atmosphere on those campuses was fantastic, but it's bad TV product.
Disrespectful, John. You're being disrespectful to us out here at ASU. Come on, John. I'm saying we want a conference championship. You hate on the Devils. What is your problem with ASU? You don't like us out here.
Hey, I'm just saying what's best for the sport.
You don't care. We're what's best for the sport.
It's not a commentary on ASU specifically. But hey, ASU's got a chance. Win all your games, and you would get a bye in the revamped format. The best thing for the sport is to seed based on rankings. That's the bottom line to me. They have got to keep in mind the TV product, right? And we saw the ratings were bad. The game Saturday, especially up against the NFL, those drew like 3 million viewers, which is what a decent regular season game draws. Mm-hmm. So I think they've got to make some tweaks. I don't expect those tweaks to be made by next season, but for the 2026 season, they're going to revise the format.
Okay, so the ratings were not great, but how much of that, though, is that they were stuck over on TNT? How much of that? Because the numbers look different, and does that factor in streaming? This whole business side of it. Yeah, they weren't great, but were they as bad as they were portrayed to be versus, okay, let's just dig down on all of this. Can you fix it by saying, you know, the only game that was on over the air was the game where Tennessee got their butts kicked clear across the country. That was the only play. Everything else was on. You had to search around to find it.
No, I think being on TNT did have an impact, but there's a reason they were on TNT. ESPN didn't think they were valuable enough to show. So they sub-licensed them to TNT, to Turner, because ESPN, you know, they just felt like those aren't great games and they're going to be up against two heavyweight NFL games. So generally, I think the CFP needs to rethink where it puts those games for the next few years, because it's tough going up against the NFL. And the NFL is take no prisoners. You know, they are out for blood here.
Yes,
we can see that with which games they put Mahomes on, and they put Steelers Ravens on. So obviously they're trying to pound the CFP.
And I didn't watch a second of the NFL.
I didn't either. I didn't either. But a lot of people did. They doubled up. They doubled up the ratings of college football.
I liked how the games were played on campus.
Yes.
That's a positive to this. Because I'm
huge
trying to find positives. There's
huge
no downside. Other than there's going to be those that whine about the weather and they want it to be in a dome. No, we don't want it to be in a dome. No.
No. We were disappointed it wasn't snowing during some of those games.
Right.
Well, and but that is another thing they need to reconsider is the top four seeds don't get the home field advantage because they have the byes and they're playing neutral sites. Eventually, and I'm talking years down the road because it's going to take a lot of manipulating of the schedule and the structure of the season, they got to reward the top four seeds with a home game. Oregon should have had a home game. Right? There's a huge value in that.
Yes. Yes. I see that. But I guess it's how do you put that together? And
right. And
where, because the NFL, all the NFL is going to do is play follow the leader. The NFL is going to say, because the CFP could wait till the NFL releases their schedule and then say, okay, this is when we're putting our games. And the NFL would move their games around because that's what they do. I have very low regard for the NFL, if you can't tell, just on how they've handled it. In all this, it's not great. That to the side, okay. Are you looking up and down these last four games, saying this is the game that is going to be the best? This is the game that's going to be the blowout.
I mean, if I'm an ASU fan, I'm probably a little concerned, right? I mean, one of the things we saw, which we it's not a lesson. It is a reminder, the games, especially in the postseason, won and lost at the line of scrimmage, right?
Sure.
Is ASU going to be able to hold up against Texas's offensive and defensive lines? Is Boise State going to be able to hold up against Penn State's offensive and defensive line?
I think that's the worst game, Boise State.
It could very well be.
I think, and maybe I'm too close in the middle of the forest, but I think if you look at Boise State, it's just pound Genty and that's that. If you're Arizona State, well, they've got a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
If they pound Cam Scataboo, okay. But Kenny's just enough of a riverboat gambler that I think he'll find ways to make that game interesting. I think the best game is the one you're going to be at, the Rose Bowl, Oregon-Ohio State.
I think Oregon-Ohio State should be fantastic. And I actually think Notre Dame-Georgia could be real competitive, especially given Georgia's quarterback situation.
Yep,
but clearly the marquee game, Rose Bowl gets its wish, right? I mean, it's Big Ten versus Big Ten, but it's also Big Ten versus old Pac-12.
Yep.
It is a rematch of one of the best games of the season. It should be a dynamite matchup. It's Rose Bowl's dream, frankly.
Okay, Kenny Dillingham versus Steve Sarkisian. If you're looking at coaches, Sark's been down there this season, and Texas, in my opinion, has been a bit on the luck side because they've faced a bunch of teams with quarterback issues as the season progressed.
Yeah.
That said, Kenny's never been in this situation before. Could I see some stage fright coming out of ASU? Could I see they've been off for 14, 21 days, rust?
Yeah.
Could I see all that? Sure, I could. What do you make out of the coaching matchup in this bowl game, the Peach Bowl?
I do not think that there will be a stage too big for ASU feeling. I think Dillingham is going to keep doing what they've been doing, playing the underdog, rolling with their momentum. I don't think they're going to be afraid of the scene. Their bigger issues to me are just going to be Texas's physical dominance. Mm-hmm. And I do think rust is a big issue. Now, you're playing those games this past weekend. You get injuries. Texas had a couple injuries. But, boy, 24 – I think it's 24 days off versus a team that has played in the middle of that stretch. I think that's a big concern for the four teams that had the byes. Usually if you're in this situation and you're playing one of the big bowls, your opponent has also been off for a month or 3.5 weeks. But not this case. To me – Texas, all the teams that played this weekend have a huge competitive advantage. over the teams that have been sitting around for 3.5 weeks. That's a long time.
Yeah, yeah. What happens to the Bulls as we know them? Like, I'm waking up and saying, oh, what do I have to do? Do I have this? I have that. Wait, there's a bowl game on.
There's a bowl game.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's not. It used to be that we were looking forward to all this time of year where there's bowl games on. And now the NBA and the NFL have said, we're just going to throw all of our product in there. We have these CFP games. And so when you're the Gasparilla Bowl, if you're the Gin and Juice Bowl, if you're the LA Bowl, how are you going to survive? How are you going to be able to keep going in this planet that we're in? And as you being the CFP commissioner, or college football commissioner in this case, what happens to all these bowl games?
I got four letters for you. We all know them, ESPN. Yeah. It's programming. It is, they, you know, there's what, 41, 42, 90% of them are on ESPN. ESPN owns and operates a whole bunch of them as well, in addition to just having broadcast relationships. It's programming. There are still going to be more people watching the Belk Bowl or the Gasparilla Bowl than pretty much anything else ESPN would put on during that three-hour window. So I don't see how they're going to go away, because they serve ESPN's purposes. And we can make fun of them, and they have diminished relevance with an expanded playoff. But it is still a better choice than billiards or even, I mean, an NBA game, frankly.
Okay, so if you're the team that has a whole bunch of players that says, we're not going to play.
Yeah.
That can
issue.
I think,
issue.
I think that there's going to come a point where there will be players in locker rooms saying, how much are you going to pay me to go out there in 20 minutes?
Could, yes,
I think
for sure.
Handlers that are going to say at the last minute, yeah, he was diagnosed with the flu. And wasn't green enough for me to go out and make enough cash. So this is inside baseball, as I like to do with you, but get into the weeds. Do you think that some of these bowls, we could have a point where such and such bowl game was not played? It's kind of like UCLA. What was it in the Holiday Bowl a few years back?
Yeah, but that was a COVID testing issue.
COVID, right. No, that's true.
But you're right. There was the Marshall backed out of the Independence Bowl last week, right? They agreed to play, and then they had, oh, we got guys in the transfer portal and all this. And the portal and NIL are both threats. Fortunately, Independence Bowl was able to find a team, Louisiana Tech, to play Army. But yeah, that, I mean, it's a concern. They're going to have to come up with a way to make it worth it for the players' NIL. The portal is a different threat, and it's not as easily solved. The problem with the portal is they have to have it at this time of year, because kids have got to be able to enroll in school in January at their new location.
Oh, school.
They can't put the portal in late January because kids have got to enroll. It's that whole conflict of big-time college football versus higher education, and they don't really match. So, yes, there is a threat to the Bulls, you know, about participation. I think they're going to have to figure out a way for the NIL payments to be an inducement.
All right. You have a good holiday.
Yeah, you too. Absolutely. Same to everyone watching. Thanks for all the support.
That is John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout.